So this is Labor Day weekend, and I was kind of curious where that started. And I understand that there was some activists wanted a day that would give tribute to workers. And so it came to pass. And the first Labor Day was September 5th, 1882. And, you know, God ordained work. When he put man in the garden, he said, you can till it and keep it. And then it got so much more difficult after our first parents sinned. Now they're going to deal with thorns and thistles and all that sort of thing. But God bless all of you that are out there working. And what I want to have us think about this morning is God's work. Now, his creation work ended after 6 days and he rested, but he continues to work in our lives. And every Christian here is under his workmanship. And I just will pray that God will give us some word this morning to help you focus on what God's doing in your life and what he plans for your life ultimately. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you are doing in every Christian's life here as your children, and what your plan is and your purpose is in every life. And we thank you for the privilege of being in your family and under your workmanship because of your love in sending the Savior. And Lord, it's because of the price that's paid that we can be in your family today. And we just pray in the thoughts that we share here that you'd prepare our hearts also to remember you, Lord Jesus, and what you did for us. So I just ask your guidance by your Spirit today here in Jesus' name. Amen. Zwane was reading a scripture, come to verse 10. There's a very important passage there that it's by grace that we're saved through faith. It's a gift. It's not something that we could work for or ever perform for, but it was provided for us by the Lord Jesus, and so grateful. Then John 3:16, that Jesus said, whosoever believeth shall not be come into condemnation, but it's not in John, but have everlasting life. And but we come to that 10th verse that I would just remind us of. It's Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And if you go back to verse 4 in Ephesians 1, you find that those that God knew would come to him, those that would be his children, he had a plan for them before he made the world. And in this 10th verse, he said that we are his workmanship unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. And so it's kind of a neat thing to know that you're under God's working hand. In Genesis 1:26, Jesus, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And so he created man to be like him. And we all know that that image was marred and we died spiritually when the first parents listened to the serpent and they obeyed him and disobeyed God. But Jesus, God's plan then was that we could be born again. We died spiritually, but as Jesus shared in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he so loved people, that he gave his only son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, as we are born again, God now has this plan to make us like his son. And that's given to us in Romans 8:29, and I think we're familiar with that God, that those that he had foreknown, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And I like that because it's right back to make us in the image of his son. He created man in his image after his likeness. We fell, the plan was marred, but in Christ Jesus, his goal is to make us like his son, to conform to his image. And that's his plan, and that's what he's at work in. And we also know that will be complete for every Christian when you see him, when we, at his coming, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But I just want to share some of what God is doing to conform us to be like him. In Philippians 2, Paul shared this in verse 12. He said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And it sounds like it's our work, but it's what he's talking about there is cooperating with what God is doing in your life and my life. The very next verse says, "For it is God that worketh in us both to will and do of his good pleasure." So I guess the thing that I just want to convey this morning is to have us know that God has a plan ultimately in every one of our lives as a believer. And that is to make us become like his son. And in that verse it says that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And if we can understand the heart and mind of God, is what he is looking for is a family of his children that would be like his son. With that family likeness, to be like him. A lot of different, he made us, created us very different in many different ways, and we'll look different, and there will be variety, I'm sure, in his family as we all are home with him. But we'll have that family likeness to our Lord Jesus Christ. And and I would want to say that as I share about this, I'm really talking to myself, because God's still at work. As long as we're here, he is at work in us to change us, to conform us to what his son is like, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure I just scratched the surface, but I've got five different things that I think are very important in this matter of what God is doing. And first of all, he uses his word. In John 17:17, in Jesus' prayer to his Father about his own, in that verse he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." Use your word to make them holy. Use your word to change them. And that's exactly what God's doing. And as I share this, the question would be, am I adequately spending time, attention to the Word of God in my life? Several verses that I think of, Psalm 119:9-11. The psalmist asks, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" And he says, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Your word will change me. And then he goes on in verse 11, "Say, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." God's word is a major thing that he is doing to conform us and to change us, be like his son. I'm very familiar with 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. It's profitable for doctrine, to teach the faith, for reproof, to show us where we're wrong, for correction, to show us how to get back to the right, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So God is going to use his word in our lives to make us more like his son. We have the verse then in Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You often think, you know, in the armor, you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and it's an offensive weapon. It's a weapon we can use by the Spirit of God, but it's also an instrument that the Holy Spirit uses. For that verse says, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents in the heart. And what I take from that the Spirit of God, as you get into the Word of God and you think on the Word of God, he'll show you what needs to be changed. He'll point out things that are not right that he wants to change to make us more and more like his son. When I was a young person, I heard a Dr. Logsdon shared something that's kind of stayed with me about the Word of God. Study it carefully, ponder it prayerfully, deep in your heart, let its oracles dwell. Slight not its history, ponder its mystery. None can e'er love it too fondly or well. And I would just say, we need to be sure that we're spending adequate time with the Word of God. It's alive, it's powerful, it'll speak to us. We need to take time with it. I think it's very important to lay it away in our hearts, to meditate on it. It is what, by the Spirit of God, the great life changer to make us like Jesus. Second point I would just say, and I think very important, is to present yourself, your body, to the Holy Spirit of God. In Romans 12:1-2, I think such a critical step in becoming like Jesus. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he goes on to say that you will don't be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I've shared with you before, but it really ministered to me, Dr. Walter Wilson, his testimony of what it meant for him to present his body to the Holy Spirit. And you know, the Word of God says that our body is his temple. And the Holy Spirit is there to teach us, to prompt us. Though all power comes by his Spirit, he does not overpower us. It comes down to our being willing to yield to him. So anyway, Dr. Walter Wilson, a very conservative Christian, but he was kind of very concerned. Somebody approached him one day, who's the Holy Spirit in your life? And he pressed him on it a little bit, and he said, I guess he doesn't mean much to me. He had this kind of fear that some go overboard in the Holy Spirit in their life, and he didn't want that happening in his life, I guess. So anyway, he and his father-in-law went to hear Dr. James Gray preach, and he was preaching on Romans 12:1-2, and he said, he leaned over the pulpit and said, that's talking about the Holy Spirit. God the Father is on the throne. The Lord Jesus is his right hand. Of course, he's in the life of every believer. But it's the Spirit of God that you give your life to. Anyway, let me share this again, because he went back to his hotel heartbroken that night that he just had been not giving the Spirit of God rightful place in his life. And he got on his face before God, and this is what he said. I prayed that night. There in the quiet hour of that late hour, I said to the Holy Spirit, my Lord, I have mistreated you all my Christian life. I've treated you like a servant. When I wanted you, I called for you. When I was about to engage in some work, I beckoned you to come and help me perform my task. I have kept you in a place of a servant. I've sought to use you only as a willing servant to help me in my self-appointed chosen work. I shall do so no more. Just now, I give you this body of mine, from my head to my feet, I give it you. I give you my hands, my limbs, my eyes, my lips, my brain, all that I am within and without. I hand it over to you, and for you to live in the light, in the life that you please. You may send my body to Africa or lay it on a bed with cancer. You may blind the eyes or send me with your message to Tibet. You may take this body to the Eskimos or send it to a hospital with pneumonia. It is your body from this moment on. Help yourself to it. Thank you, my Lord. I believe you've accepted it, for in Romans 12 and 1, you said acceptable to God. Thank you again, my Lord, for taking me. We now belong to each other. God did not send him to Africa. God did not lay him on a bed with cancer. What God did was give him courage to be a soul winner. The next morning, in his job, he met with selling some advertising. Two ladies. He led both of them to Christ. And Walter Wilson became a great soul winner. And in his testimony later on, it all went back to the point that he gave himself to the Spirit of God, however he wanted to use him. And I think that the whole matter of becoming more like the Lord Jesus is to allow the Spirit of God to get done in your life what he wants. And by the way, his fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, patience, and temperance. That's what he wants to do in our life. And I'd say one other thing about becoming more like Jesus. If you have something going on in your life you just can't get victory over, I like to share with people, if they're up against a problem like that, the verse back in Romans 8:13, if you live by your own strength, you're going to fail. But if you, by the Spirit of God, mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And I just would encourage you this way. If you have a habit or something that you just cannot lay down, invite the Holy Spirit to put it to death. He's just delighted to do it. And he'll surprise you how it does it. But I think that's, present your body to the Holy Spirit. He will make you like the Lord Jesus. And by the way, Jesus said, when the Spirit of God has come, right before he left in John 14, he will glorify me. It's his job to bring honor and praise to the Lord Jesus. And it's on God's heart through his Spirit to make us more and more like the Lord Jesus. The third thing I'd say is to respond to trials and corrections of the Lord. And we know a lot of the passages in James 1, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, and I think others say trials, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God uses difficult things, and sometimes we maybe have a misconception that when you follow the Lord, things are going to really go well and be easy. But God knows what it takes. He knows what it takes to change us and to conform us. I think of the Apostle Paul, after he had that experience being caught up into heaven, that God allowed a thorn to come into his flesh to balance him out and to protect from things getting out of balance, I guess. And that's when Jesus said, my grace is sufficient. My strength will be made perfect in your weakness. And so God does let us go through some difficult things. I just want to share this from Hebrews 12 and verse 5. Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you're rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is whom the Father chasteneth not? And so important in this day, spankings are fine. They're just not very accepted. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then are you masters and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reference. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our own profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, verse 11 is so important. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I think the key there, when God does, the Word of God shows us when we're out of line. Sometimes God lets things be difficult in our life because we're not doing the right thing. But he says those that are exercised by it, and I've had the word on that, trained by it. Those that are trained by some of the difficulties that God lets us walk through, the nevertheless afterward. I put on the back of the bulletin, and I'm not going to take time, but I appreciate so much the insights of Annie Johnson Flint. I was happy, everything was going good, and then went through a sorrowful time, and it was very difficult. But then, looking backward, I now know how wise and kind he was because of the afterward and how God uses that. So I would say that is one of the special ways that God does conform us to his Son. The fourth thing I would say is to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in you. Pay attention to the things that God wants to change in our life. I just direct just for a moment to 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter says, there are exceeding great precious promises that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. And then he says this, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, and he has a list of things there. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to brotherly kindness, charity. And it's interesting if you look what Peter said. He really stresses this. He said, you've been born again, now add to your faith these things. And I guess what I'm believing that he's saying, pay attention to what God is doing in your life to give you more virtue, to give you more knowledge of him and his ways, more self-control, more patience, more godliness, more brotherly kindness, more charity. What Peter goes on to say, it's my goal to always remind you of this. Though you know it, I'm going to keep reminding you of this. And it's my goal, after I go home, that you still will be reminded of this list. And he says, if these things be in you, they make you so you will not be unfruitful. You'll have a fruitful life, and more than that, you're going to have a wonderful welcome home. And so I think, fourthly, pay attention to the things God is doing in your life and cooperate with it. And then lastly, I think so important, spend time with the one that we want to become like. and you know, this brings us back to that we need to live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. There are times when the Lord Jesus may seem so very real to you. The truth is, he is with you, you walk with him, you talk with him, spend time with him, and I think it's not wrong to say, Lord Jesus, I need to know more how to be like you. I want to know more about you so that I can be like you. And one of the amazing things is that he, and I've shared this before, but it still amazes me, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to spend time with me. He wants to spend time with you. He told us we need to abide in him, and he abides in us. In his prayer in John 17, he says to the Father, I pray that they would be with me so that they can behold me. In Revelation 3:20, from that those that were way off kilter in Laodicea. He said, I stand at your door and knock. If any man open the door, I'll come into him and I'll sup with him and he with me. We'll have fellowship together. And so some of the things that I think are important that God wants to ultimately do in our life, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. So I believe that's God's work. That's what he's after in my life. I think it's after in every Christian's life here. Just to more and more make you like his son. And then we do understand that at his coming, there's going to be a new body. We're going to be able to see him as he is and be like him. But the process needs to go on. And we need to just put ourselves into his hands to get done his work in our lives. And we're reminded this morning, the very reason that we are his children, the very reason that we can be in his family under his workmanship, is what we remember this morning. Our Lord Jesus being willing to lay down his life, pay the price, so that we can receive as a gift to be born into the family. And God's goal is then to make us like our older brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he be the firstborn among many brethren. Lord Jesus, as we come to this time again, just to remember what you've done, just to remember the price you paid. When we're with you, we're going to understand more, but to know that you laid down your life for whosoever would believe in it, that his sin would be forgiven, that he would be born into the Father's family, and that the Father is going to work in that life to make us more and more like you. So as we come to the Lord's Supper this morning, I ask, Father, that you would honor your Son in a special way in our midst. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.